Our Bible reading tonight is taken from the Gospel of John, John chapter 14. I'm looking at that passage tonight in connection with the Heidelberg Catechism as we continue our series looking there at those question and answers, the summary of God's Word for us. We continue in that section which deals with the Lord's Prayer. So we'll be looking tonight at John 14. We'll read the first 14 verses and look especially at verses 13 and 14. And we'll read together Lord's Day 46, which is on page 59 in the back of your blue hymnals. We're reading first of all from John 14. It's found on page 1146. There we have the words of our Savior to His disciples. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in Me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. If you had known Me, you would have known My Father also. From now on, you do know Him and have seen Him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know Me, Philip? Whoever has seen Me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in Me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on My authority, but the Father who dwells in Me does His works. Believe Me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in Me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in Me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in My name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask Me anything in My name, I will do it. My sons are reading from God's Word, and we are again looking at this in connection with Lord's Day 46 of the Heidelberg Catechism, page 59 in the back of your blue hymnals. We have question and answers 120, 121. Question 120 asks us, why did Christ command us to call God our Father? Answer, at the very beginning of our prayer, Christ wants to kindle in us what is basic to our prayer, the childlike awe and trust that God, through Christ, has become our Father. Our fathers do not refuse us the things of this life. God, our Father, will even less refuse to give us what we ask in faith. Question 121, why the words, who art in heaven? Answer, these words teach us not to think of God's heavenly majesty as something earthly, and to expect everything for body and soul from His almighty power. And the sons are reading from the Catechism here tonight. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is the night before Jesus is betrayed into the hands of lawless men to be tried, judged, and condemned before hanging on the cross to make atonement for our sins. And the disciples, hearing Jesus prophesy His departure, are filled with fear and uncertainty. No doubt they are questioning why Jesus would be leaving them after the many years that they devoted to following Him wherever He went. They likely are worrying about how they will ever survive without their Master. After all, wasn't He the one who performed the many signs and wonders? Wasn't He the one who stepped in when the scribes and Pharisees decided to attack, to wage war against them? Wasn't Jesus the one who had given them the authority to go out preaching and teaching the coming of the kingdom? How would they ever survive? We're probably not far off the mark if we were to look at the disciples here and believe that they feel like children losing their parents, who are dumbfounded at the prospect of being left an orphan, even as Jesus would remark later in this chapter. The disciples are filled with great fear and uncertainty, and so we find these famous words that Jesus gives about leaving and preparing a place for us, making clear that He's gone away in order to bless us. He's gone ahead of us in order to open the way for us to enter into the presence of God and to make a place where we may one day live with Him. The disciples weren't being abandoned, but this was a temporary thing for their good and for our good, so that again we might enjoy the blessing, the full blessing of everything He accomplished for us on the cross. But along with that, as Jesus engages His disciples, as He engages their fear and worry about the future and being without Him, Christ also wants to make clear that His departure doesn't mean He's no longer working for us. It doesn't mean that He somehow has forgotten us, that He's going to move beyond us, that He's somehow not going to care or be concerned with us any longer. No, Jesus says that while He's at the Father's hand, He will do what we ask as we offer up our prayers and petitions. In that way, you see, Jesus connects His leaving with our being a praying people. Jesus has gone, He's left, He's ascended to the right hand of the Father, and Jesus says, as I am going away, remember that I still care about you, remember that I am still with you, remember that I will still work for you, and I will do then what you ask in your prayers and petitions. Jesus has left us, and so urges us to be a people devoted to prayer. There is something very curious in these two verses here tonight, even as Jesus makes clear that His departure doesn't mean that He's forgotten us, where Jesus encourages us to be a praying people, to make prayers and petitions to God. There's something very curious here in terms of what Christ says. If we want to look at these two verses tonight, and to consider it in two parts. First of all, to consider to whom we are to pray. Who are we to pray to? Who are we to address our prayers toward? And then secondly, the question of in whom we are to pray. Who do we pray through and in? Those two questions as we look at this passage tonight. The first then is, who are we to pray to? On one level, that seems to be a question hardly worth asking, doesn't it? I mean, how often do you seriously ask yourself, or your children maybe even ask you, who am I supposed to pray to? In many respects, we feel it's something that's very self-explanatory, something very obvious. And yet, given Jesus' words to us here in this passage, and even the answer of our catechism, it's a good question. We should realize it's a very good question, and one that is very much worthy of our consideration and study and thinking. For one thing, there are many Christians who are actually quite confused by that question. There are those who will say that our prayers should always and only be directed toward God the Father. That since we're to pray in Jesus' name, as we'll come to see, that since we are to pray through the Lord Jesus Christ, that really the only one we should ever be praying to is God the Father. Isn't it the case, after all, that Jesus says to pray to our Father who art in heaven? So Christians will argue that we should only and ever pray to the Father. But then there are other Christians who deny that, who actually would argue that our prayer should be directed to Jesus. That He is our Savior, He is our Lord, He is the one we worship, and so our prayer should be directed to Jesus in particular. And then maybe muddying the waters even further, or perhaps just to round things out and feel good about themselves, others will say, well, hey, you can't forget, we must pray to the Holy Spirit as well. That He's the one we should go to. He's the one who works in us. He's the one who transforms us and connects us to Christ and so forth. So the question is, who do you pray to? Who are we supposed to pray to? Part of the answer to a question like that is given us here in this passage. Notice what Jesus has to tell His disciples. He explicitly tells them that they are to come to Him with their requests. To ask Him anything, and He will do it. Now, the word Jesus uses there for asking isn't the word that is specifically used to speak of prayer. But it's still this same general idea. If Jesus is gone, if Jesus is in heaven, to ask Him something means, effectively, to pray to Him, to come to Him with requests. Even though He's not here, even though He's not on this earth. And in fact, we see that very activity a number of times later on in the Bible. In Acts 7, verse 59, for instance, you remember that Stephen was being stoned, and while he was being stoned, he lifted up his eyes to heaven, where he beheld his Savior, and he prayed to Jesus, Lord, receive my spirit. In 2 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul writes about his own struggle, his own thorn in the flesh, and how he specifically prayed to the Lord, prayed to Jesus three times that this thorn might be removed from him. But then he came to realize that Jesus' intention was to have his power made perfect in his weakness. Paul says, I prayed to Jesus three times that this thorn be taken away. And at the very end of the Bible, you have the Apostle John's response, or even his prayer, to the visions that he has witnessed. And John then, at the very end of the book of Revelation, prays Maranatha, or Maranatha, as some would say it. Lord, come. Jesus, he's speaking of Jesus. Lord, come. He prays to Christ. He prays to Jesus and says, come, come now. In other words, the example of the New Testament shows us, and the words even of Jesus here in our passage reveal to us, that we can and we should pray to Jesus. Now, for some of you, that may be very obvious, a very obvious answer. But for others of us, it might be something we almost never do. It might even be something we tend to feel is wrong. It's so ingrained in us that we pray to the Father that it feels wrong almost to pray to Jesus. But yet, it's entirely appropriate. It's entirely appropriate. If you read through the Gospels, what do you find? You find Jesus receiving worship time and time again. That the same lips which praise God are the lips then which praise Jesus. In the book of Revelation, you see the saints worshiping the Lamb who was slain. And what is praying except another expression of worship? Prayer is an expression of worship for Jesus. To worship Him, to recognize who He is, to recognize His power, His authority, and His might, and His love, and His grace, and to seek such blessings from Him. To pray to Jesus, not to attack the Father, not to undermine the Father. The Gospel of John also makes very clear to us that those who honor Jesus honor the Father. Those who glorify the Son glorify the Father. Those who pray to the Son are glorifying, recognizing, honoring the Father who's given us His Son. So to pray to Jesus is entirely appropriate and something that Christ Himself calls for. Christ encourages us to come to Him specifically with prayers and requests, trusting that He will do for us as we ask. We also need to be clear here of another point, however. And to understand that although Jesus invites us and calls us to pray to Him, and we do find examples in the Bible of prayers to Jesus, that doesn't mean we shouldn't pray to the Father or the Holy Spirit. In fact, if you were to take all of the prayers that are found in the New Testament, and you were to sort of divide them up as to who they're devoted to or who they're directed to, you would quickly realize that there are only three times that Jesus receives prayers. Only three times is prayer to Jesus specifically mentioned. Zero times is the Holy Spirit prayed to. And all the rest of the recorded prayers in the entire Bible are directed to God the Father. In other words, although it's not wrong by any means, or improper by any means, to pray to Jesus or the Holy Spirit, in the vast majority of cases, the example of the Bible, the practice of the Bible, is that normally our prayers are directed to the Father. That we, in that way, are not to be exclusively devoted to the Son. That we are not to exclusively be devoted to praying to the Spirit. But there's a sense in which the Father should be the primary receptor of our prayers. The primary one who we devote our prayers to, come to with our prayers. That we come with our requests and our petitions. The overwhelming biblical pattern for Christian prayer is that it's directed to the Father, in the Son, or through the Son, and by the Holy Spirit. Perhaps we might say that the primary address of our prayers should be to the Father, though never to the exclusion of Jesus or the Holy Spirit. Why then would we pray to Jesus or the Holy Spirit? Or in what circumstances would we pray to them? And in that regard, I think we do well to remember the particular work of the three persons of the Trinity. The Heidelberg Catechism itself does that earlier in its writings and its question and answers. It talks about how God the Father is normally connected to creation and so forth. His care, His benevolence, his providence and so forth. How the Son of God is normally spoken of in terms of redemption. He's the one that offered up His life for us. He's the one who shed His blood for us. He's the one who intercedes for us in heaven. And the Holy Spirit, how He in particular, it seems to be focused, as it were, upon our sanctification, connecting us to Christ, uniting us with Christ, growing us in Christ, fighting against our indwelling sin, and making us a more holy and holy of a people. And you see, in that way, when we think of our prayers, and we think of addressing the Son, the Spirit, one of the helpful ways to think of it is just in terms of, what are you seeking? And what does the Bible have to say about this thing that you're seeking? Whose work is it normally attributed to? And to go then to Christ, to go to Christ in prayer and say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me. Lord Jesus, please apply Your blood to me. Lord Jesus, please deliver me from my sins. Lord Jesus, please go to the Father on my behalf and seek His grace to be poured out upon me. Lord Jesus, please send the Holy Spirit as You had promised in the Word that You would do. Or to go to the Holy Spirit, to flee to the Holy Spirit in prayer and say, Oh Holy Spirit, please, please bless Your Word to my heart. Grant me understanding, even as that is what You have promised to do in the Word. Please grant me understanding of the Word that You authored, that You gave to the church. To run to them. To run to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in prayer, recognizing what they do, what they have promised to do, what they have promised to give. How they promise to bless. Although we should be very careful making rules, perhaps just a helpful rule of thumb is simply to say this, that we pray to the Father, through the Son, and by the Holy Spirit. And while we may speak and pray to the Son and the Holy Spirit directly, we do that in cases where it would more perhaps appropriately fit with their direct concerns and the focus of their work and their ministry. But at this point, I would imagine that some of you are still wondering what the big deal is. What's all the fuss? Why do we even have to talk about this? Does it even matter? They're all God, aren't they? What does it matter whether we pray to the Father or the Son or the Holy Spirit? What does it matter whether we direct our prayers normally one way or another way or to one person or that person? And I'd argue it does matter. It does matter because this is the God we have. It is one God, but one God in three persons. And our prayers should reflect our faith in this one God who is in three persons. That our faith should direct the way that we pray. That our faith should inform the way that we pray. That we are intelligent in our praying. That we are intentional in our praying. That we are thoughtful in our praying to reflect the nature of who God is. To reflect the nature of how He works. To reflect the nature of what He's promised and given to us. To have our faith inform our prayers. That we take delight, not just in the Father, but in the Son and the Holy Spirit. Or that we find delight, not just in the Son, but the Father and the Holy Spirit as well. That just as we would sing to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we've just done. That even as we would glorify Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So that we pray specifically to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is our God. This is our God. Aren't we looking for sweet communion not only with the Son, but also the Father and the Holy Spirit? Don't we want fellowship with the three persons of the Trinity, not just one of them? And prayer is a way to enjoy that sweet communion, to engage in that relationship, to enter into that moment of the meeting with your God. Not just with Father, but also with Son and Holy Spirit. And even more, aren't we seeking all of their help? Aren't Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all together at work in our lives for salvation? And wouldn't we then go to each person of the Trinity, to go to them specifically in prayer, to seek their help, to seek their blessing, as they are all engaged in saving us? Even more, I think it's important because there does often seem to be a lot of confusion in our prayers. Where you can't really tell who's being addressed, where we sort of forget who we're praying to, where we get all muddled up and mixed up and messed up in our heads. I've actually found it quite interesting in coming to Michigan. I encountered a phrase I think I'd never really heard before in my life, but to come across the practice of ending prayers saying, "In Your name we pray." And I found that in some cases, when that's said, I really have no idea whose name they're praying in. They seem to be praying to the Father, and yet they say, in Your name we pray. They're praying in the name of the Father. to the Father? In that sense, there seems often to be confusion. Who is really being prayed to? Who are you really going to with your requests? And in whose name are you really approaching them? On what ground, what basis? And I think it's helpful for us, again, to consider this question, who are we praying to? That it be intentional, that it be intelligent, and that it's informed and fed by our faith and understanding of what God says about Himself and His Word, and what He promises to do in His Word, and who He is. The idea, again, is very simply, prayer is an encounter with God. Prayer is entering into an encounter with God. You're entering into that moment, that tender and special moment of communion with the living God. And that God is one God in three persons. And that should be reflected time and again in the way that we pray. You know, that's the same thing the Catechism is doing in those two question answers. It wants us to recognize who God is to us so that our prayers are informed by this understanding of who God is. That our prayers reflect the nature of God. That our prayers reflect who He is and has revealed Himself to be. So when it comes to whom we pray to, we pray to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we, and by general rule of thumb, you might say, pray to the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. That is the typical biblical pattern. But then we want to consider the second question as to in whom we pray. Not just who is it directed to, but who are we praying through, in, and so forth. And this is one point that Jesus consistently makes in talking about prayer and teaching His disciples how to pray. That when we pray to the Father or to Him, that we pray in His name. We see that very clearly in John 14, verses 13 and 14. Whatever you ask me in my name, ask me anything in my name. When you pray to the Father, says Jesus, pray in my name. But what does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus? Why does Jesus tell us to pray in His name? Well, the idea, first of all, is not that when we say in Jesus' name we pray, or in Jesus' name I pray, the idea is not that it's some kind of magic word. It's not like an open sesame where suddenly, because you said those exact words, suddenly the doors open for your words to reach into heaven and come into the presence of God. Those words are not a special formula. They're not the key to unlocking the gate of heaven. It's not about the words themselves. But instead, to pray in Jesus' name is to pray to God in the confidence of everything Jesus has done for us. To pray to God, to approach God in prayer, trusting that Jesus has Himself opened the way for us and secured a new relationship with Him. In many respects, you can think of this in terms of what Jesus says earlier in chapter 14, where He tells Philip that I am the way, the truth, and life. That no one comes to the Father apart from Him. See, that's true not just in terms of salvation. That we could never be accepted by God apart from Jesus, that we could never be forgiven by God apart from Jesus, that we could never be welcomed by God apart from Jesus, that we could never survive God's judgment apart from Jesus, that we could never be pleasing to God apart from Jesus. It's true not just in terms of salvation that we need Jesus and can only be accepted by God through Jesus, it's true in our prayers. That Jesus is the pathway to the Father's embrace. That Jesus is the pathway to finding and obtaining God's favor and mercy and to find the answer and the hearing of our prayers. See, the reality is that we do not have the right to pray to God. In ourselves, we have no right to approach God in prayer. We have no right to make our requests, our petitions. We have no right to plead for His mercy. We have no right to ask that we be granted what we want. We have no right to receive His blessing and His answer in prayer. We do not have the right to any of those things. And Jesus then looks at us, looks at His disciples, and He says, pray in my name. Because He wants us to understand that the right to pray, the right to be heard in prayer, the right to have our prayers reach God's ears, the right to have God answer our prayers, the right for all of those things is given only because of what Jesus Himself has done. That it's not magic words that give us that, but Jesus Himself who gives us that. One pastor has told a story about a time when he was a graduate student and how there was a famous speaker that came to give a lecture at his school. After the lecture was over, the speaker was mingling a little bit with some of the students, you know, being just very formal, very polite, just, you know, shaking a hand here and hi over there and so forth. But this pastor talked about how he was able to go to this famous speaker and how he was able to mention that he knew a friend of this speaker. And how suddenly, when the name of this friend was mentioned, this speaker snapped to attention and his voice suddenly changed and his demeanor suddenly changed. And immediately the speaker was very warm and very friendly and very tender and treated him with great interest. This man, this pastor, was able to enjoy special access to the speaker, special treatment from the speaker. Not because of this magic formula of a name, but because of this mutual friend himself. You see, that's the same thing with regard to our prayers. Because of Jesus, God focuses His love and attention and care upon us when we pray. Now, one thing that means is that you aren't sinning if you don't happen to say or end your prayer with, "In Jesus' name we pray." You'll notice that there isn't a specific example in the entire Scripture or Bible of someone praying that way. There is no example in the whole Bible of someone saying, "In Jesus' name we pray." Now, it's not to say it's wrong by any means. It is certainly a good practice. But again, the point is, it's not that phrase itself which Jesus is calling for. That's not ultimately what Jesus has in mind, that it's just kind of a tag on to the close of our prayer. But it's about our underlying attitude, our underlying perspective and faith and confidence that there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And is and does our prayer reflect that? Is our prayer offered up from the perspective of Jesus Himself opening up the way? Is it a prayer that self-consciously is offered through the mediation of Jesus Christ on the basis of the finished work of Jesus Christ, on the ground that He has made us pleasing and acceptable in the eyes of God? That it's a faith that's totally driven by your confidence, not in yourself, not in any supposed personal rights or privileges, but is founded only, exclusively, on what Jesus Christ has done and who He is. And you see, that's why then it even makes sense when Jesus tells us in these verses to pray to Him in His name. If you were to read that for the first time, I imagine it would seem more than a little odd. Pray to Jesus in Jesus' name. Sounds more a little confusing, doesn't it? A little weird. Why would you pray to Jesus in the name of Jesus? But again, when we remember that to pray in Jesus' name is not just about the specific words, but about trusting who He is and what He has done, it makes perfect sense. To pray to Jesus in His name is to come to Him recognizing, confessing that He's our Savior. To come to Him convinced that He is seated at God's right hand. Convinced and persuaded He will give us, that He's able to do for us what we ask. To be convinced that He will do as He has promised, that He is filled with love and care and attention towards us. Sounds so simple and obvious, doesn't it? This idea that Jesus wants us to have this confidence that He will hear us, that He will bless us, and that He makes our prayers even acceptable in the eyes of God and to be heard and to be answered and so forth. You see, what Jesus is also doing in these verses is not simply teaching us how to pray, but He's putting His finger on a very, very intimate struggle each and every one of us has. He's exposing how easily we fall into a very poor and weak belief in the power and the goodness of God. Isn't that so true? How often don't you in your own prayer life suddenly have creep into your mind or into your heart different thoughts? Thoughts that may say God really isn't listening to you anyway. Thoughts that maybe God has no interest in answering you or giving you what you request. Thoughts that maybe even God doesn't have the power to give you what you ask. Our problems look too great. Our sin is too many. Our worries are too strong. Our neighbor is too hard-hearted. This world is too far gone. And so on. And we can look at all these things. And what we do then is we deny the very power and the goodness that is God's toward us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus is putting His finger on that. And He wants His disciples, He's saying, I'm leaving and I want you to be unshakable in your confidence in the power and the goodness and in the interest and the attention of God towards you. That as I go into heaven, you have an open ear. That as I go to heaven, you have our utmost attention and focus and interest and desire to bless, to grant what you're looking for. Look again at what the Catechism says. It says that Christ wants to kindle in us. He wants to grow in us. He wants to feed us. He wants to have us understand more and more what is basic to our prayers, what is foundational to our prayers, what is at the heart of our prayers. That God, through Christ, has become our Father. Our Father, our earthly fathers, do not refuse us the things of this life. God, our Father, will even less refuse to give us what we ask in faith. In answer 121, we ought not to think of God's heavenly majesty as something earthly. That we not ought to think of God as our Father in earthly terms, as if God then is just like our earthly fathers who let us down, who can't give us what we need, who ignore us, who forget us, who break promises, who lie, and so forth. Jesus wants us to know that's not true at all when it comes to God. Think of God your Father in heavenly terms, so that you are convinced that your God will give you everything for body and soul, and that He is able to give you everything for body and soul by His almighty power. And you see, the point then is, as we think of what it means to pray in Jesus' name, through Jesus' name, the point is that Jesus doesn't merely give us access to God. That's again where we can easily leave it, right? Jesus opens the door. Jesus sort of breaks open, okay, here, Lord, here's the prayers of your child down below. I've opened the door, I've opened the way. There you go, that's it. But that's not true at all. Jesus doesn't just give us access. Jesus obtains the fullness of God's love and care and attention for us. We pray through Jesus. That means that as we approach the Father in prayer, He treats us as if it were Jesus Himself speaking to Him. He shows us the same attention He gives to His only begotten Son. He has the same interest in our cries, in our requests, in our petitions that He has for His only begotten Son. He has just as great a desire to grant you what you request as He has a desire to grant the request of His only begotten Son. That's the glory of praying in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the glory of coming to the Father in the name of the Son. To know, not just that the door's open, but to know that God hears your prayer with unbounded love and interest and attention and a desire to bless and to give what you ask. Remember, because of Christ, it's as if we'd never sinned nor been a sinner, as if we had been as perfectly righteous as Christ was righteous for us. That when God looks at us, He sees us in Jesus. He sees us as if we were as innocent and righteous as Jesus Himself is. You see, it's the same for prayer. When God looks at you, when God sees you on your knees praying to Him. It's like He sees Jesus on His knees in prayer, asking, begging, petitioning for mercy, for grace, for help, for healing, and so forth. You see, that's what's so amazing about this. That's so amazing about what Jesus is teaching us in giving us the Lord's Prayer of calling upon God who is our Father. The beauty of what He's saying to His disciples as He says, pray in My name, even as I go. Pray in My name because I give you all this, not just access, but the love and the care and the interest and the attention of God, so that when you pray, it's as if God is seeing Me. And He responds to you, and He's hearing you, and He's interested in you as if it were Me. Of course, we're still sinners. And so we make requests of God that are not good for us, just like our children might ask to have ice cream for dinner, or just like they might ask to drive the car by themselves when they're 5 years old. Sometimes that's how we are in our prayers. We don't understand what we should pray for. We don't know what we should ask for. We ask for bad things, things that really aren't good for us. But the point is that we should never doubt the Lord Himself. If our prayers aren't answered, it's not because of any lack of care on God's part. It's not because of any lack of interest for our life. It's not because of any lack of desire on His part to give us what we ask. But the reason why our prayers may, as it were, not receive the answer we were hoping for is A, they are not what we should be asking for. B, we're not genuinely asking through Jesus Christ. Or C, the Lord wants us to learn some patience, to wait for the day when He will give what we ask. See, it's never God who's in question. And should never be God who's in question when it comes to you in the way that you pray. Because of Jesus. Jesus in whom God has become your Father. Jesus in whom you have the love, the care, the interest, and the attention of God who is your Father. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed on the cross exactly so that you and I might have these blessings. The freedom, the permission, the privilege of calling upon God as our Father. Our Lord sent His Son to die, not only to cleanse you from sin, but to make it possible for you to come into His home, to come to Him with your prayers as a son or as a daughter. Hear these words of Jesus. Ask Me anything in My name and I will do it. Go to the Father in My name and He will give it. Understand what I have obtained for you. Understand the rights, the privileges, and the blessings I have given you. It's never the character of God that is to be questioned when it comes to our prayers. Because He could never be any more for us than He already is now in Jesus. He could never be any more interested than He is now in giving us what we ask. He could love us never more than He does even now in the Lord Jesus. He is our Father. He loves hearing our prayers. He wants to hear our prayers. He's ready to answer them. He's ready to hear them. He's ready to bless us. Go to this God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Bring your prayers to Him. Hear His promises. Hear His word. And never tire of boldly approaching that throne of grace, knowing that because of Jesus, you are welcomed and you are heard. Amen. Let's pray together. O Lord our God, again we thank You for Your word, and we thank You even now for the blessing of prayer, that we can come to You, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We can come to You and know that You do hear us, You do love us, You do care about us, You hear these words. And You delight in these prayers, and You desire to give us what we ask. And so, Father, help us to be a praying people. Help us to remember who You are. Help us to remember Your words and Your promises and Your glory and Your might. Help us, Father, to remember just how much You desire to bless us and how You have chosen us and how You have given us Jesus and how You are at work in our lives through Christ and through the Spirit to give us salvation. May we remember, Lord Jesus, Your sacrifice for us on the cross, the blood that was shed, and the intercession You now carry out at the Father's right hand. And Holy Spirit, may we remember how You have given us this life and united us with Christ and how You're working within to grow us in holiness and in righteousness. So we would continue to come to You in our prayers, and that we might hear and receive Your blessing. Thank You then that we can go forth in this new week to serve You, to live for You, that we may go forth in this new week in the confidence of knowing that You hear our words and You will answer our prayers for the sake of the Lord Jesus. So answer us even now and hear us in these things, for it is in His name that we pray. Amen.